As I grew, I found out they were involved in the work of Wycliffe here in New Zealand. And for those of you who don't know what Wycliffe is or does, it's a wonderful organization that translates Bibles into different languages and also trains and sends missionaries all over the world. So my grandparents were involved in this organization for 40 years. And during that time, they hosted many missionaries and their families from around the world. Many missionaries would come back to New Zealand either for a holiday or to go around the various churches that are sponsoring them and tell them what they've been up to. And so they'd often stay at my grandparents' place, often for a few days, maybe even for a full week. And so I grew up seeing that their home was open to all. That's what I grew up seeing, and that's what I grew up hearing about. And so I grew up determining for ourselves to do the same. And at my wedding, my granddad got up and he gave a speech. And the only thing I remember, unfortunately, the only thing I remember him saying is that I pray that your home would always have an open door for family and friends to strangers you don't even know. That your home might always be joyful and the love of the Lord present in your house, that others might experience it and rejoice in the Lord as well. Now, as Christians, we are connected not only to our families and past generations within the family, but also to past generations in the family of faith. Here in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, the author has gone to great lengths to show us that Jesus Christ and His sacrificial work on the cross has saved us from our sins once and for all. Because of that, in Hebrews 13, the author then spells out for us just how that work of Jesus Christ should impact the way we live our lives. The knowledge and belief in Jesus' saving work done once and for all time leads Christians to live out the gospel in their lives. As we heard this morning, the two greatest commandments of God is love God and love your neighbor. Now these two commandments are, as one theologian put it, the two beams of the cross. Two beams of the cross of Christ. And it's made of these two beams, one being vertical, which shows us our restored relationship with God Himself, and then the other is horizontal, showing us our restored relationship with one another, with our fellow man. Now, both of those beams are important. While the vertical beam, our relationship with God, is of primary importance, it also forms the basis for the horizontal beam, our relationship with our fellow man. And so if you neglect that work of Christ, which restores your relationship with your fellow man, you still stand condemned before God. Those two beams are inseparably joined. You don't have one without the other. And so we see in Hebrews 13 verse 1, it starts off, doesn't it? Let brotherly love continue. How? Verse 2 calls you to show brotherly love to others through hospitality. And so the theme for this morning's sermon is, express God's love for others through your hospitality. And we'll consider this theme under three points. Firstly, why be hospitable? Secondly, who do you host? And then thirdly, the gospel comes with a house key. So why be hospitable? Who do you host? And the gospel comes with a house key. So firstly, why be hospitable? Well, verse 2 says, do not neglect hospitality. This is a command given based on the work of Jesus Christ who has welcomed us into God's family. It's something you must do as a Christian. It's not that you need to do that to be saved. Jesus Christ has already died on the cross for your sins. You already are, if you believe in Jesus Christ, a part of God's family. Praise the Lord. It's based on the command to love your neighbor. And so it's part of your life of holiness as a believer. In the early church, hospitality was vital. It was a vital part of the work of spreading the gospel, just as it is for many today. Back then, the idea of welcoming someone into your home was a foreign concept. To include others who weren't a part of your immediate family was thought to be ludicrous. It was crazy. But here the author of Hebrews calls his audience, and by implication he calls to you and to me, to share all that we have with others. Scripture tells us that everything that we have belongs to the Lord, and we are to be good stewards of what we have. Do you believe that? Because if you do, you will use what God has given you in His service. Loving your brothers and sisters in Christ by showing them hospitality does exactly what Jesus prays for in John 17, doesn't it? Builds this unity in the church, whether it be locally or even around the world. It's not just a call to be nice to your neighbor and then to hold them at arm's length. Close enough, right? No, welcome them into your most sacred place. Welcome them into your home. Verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Now, Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians that faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. Love of God is shown through love of neighbor. The greatest act of love that we can show anyone is to welcome them into our homes. That is the heart. That's the hub of our busy lives. Now, brothers and sisters, when you think about having people over, maybe you might be thinking about the cost of having people over every week, and that it's more food and it's more time taken away from when you could be resting. But brothers and sisters, whatever you're thinking, the benefits far outweigh the cost, because it's through hospitality you cultivate fellowship, you cultivate friendship. You cultivate more deeper, more meaningful relationships with your brothers and sisters in the church. Having visitors over, having unbelievers over, will encourage them in their faith, or it'll encourage them to come to faith. Now, to put that command, do not neglect hospitality in a more positive way, it would sound like this: remember to show hospitality. You are to be intentional in your hospitality. Even if you know it's your duty to be hospitable, don't forget to actually do it. Get into a good habit of it. Don't let your feelings dictate whether or not you're going to do it. Otherwise, you will never do it. Might have been a busy week. You might feel tired. You might feel overwhelmed at the thought of how much work is involved in having people over, or whatever you're thinking about it. Brothers and sisters, hospitality is more of an attitude than it is an action. It's more of an attitude than it is an action, because the action of hosting someone flows from your attitude of love. And then once you begin it, continue in it. One drop of water does not make a stream, and so too, being hospitable once or twice doesn't mean you are hospitable. Hospitality is crucial to the strengthening of the bond between brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's vitally necessary for the work of evangelism. Hospitality is the most effective way to share the gospel with others, with relatives, friends, neighbors. And so if you're not currently practicing hospitality on a regular basis, well, brothers and sisters, you're robbing yourself and others of the joy of Christian living. Because hospitality is a tool that God uses as a basic building block for vital Christian living.
Well, maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure that hospitality is one of the greatest evangelistic tools. But so let's ask that question then. Why is hospitality one of the greatest evangelistic tools of our day? Well, brothers and sisters, it's because in our day and age, in this society, we don't really know what families are or should look like anymore. We have a generation of Kiwis out there and even within the churches that don't know what a family truly is and how it should function. So many single mums and dads out there who came from a broken home as well, multiple generations. So bring them in. Show them how a loving Christian family can and should function. One of the things that people comment on, the main thing that people comment on when they come to a Reformed church, whether they come out of the community or they come from another denomination, they're amazed that within the Reformed churches there are these families. You know, the teenagers, grandparents, all worshipping in the same church, often multiple generations. And it blows them away. Blows them away because as the church becomes more like that culture around us, even within the church, families break down. And this leads to poor practices in the church, a lack of living out the love of Jesus Christ. And so hospitality is the best way to cultivate a strong community within the church where we truly become a church family. And it's this bond of love that draws unbelievers to find out what's different about this church. As we are bound together by love and being a part of each other's lives, we as a church grow stronger in our witness to the community around about us. That's why you should express God's love for others through your hospitality. And that brings us to our second point this morning. Who do you host? Who are you to show hospitality to? To strangers? Well, here in verse 2, the term stranger is closely tied to the term brotherly love that we read of in verse 1. So what does that mean then? Who is the stranger? Well, the emphasis of the passage is mainly got other believers in view, fellow Christians. That's who it's mainly focused on. But obviously the term stranger can mean anyone you don't know as well. And so really looking at this question, it's quite a broad term, stranger is a broad term. The question is the same as asking, who is my neighbor that I am to love? The answer to that, of course, is everyone that the Lord brings into your life, whether Christian or not. Rosaria Butterfield, the author of the book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, says that the purpose of hospitality is to make a stranger a friend and to make that friend a family member. A stranger a friend a family member. Now, boys and girls, will we host actual angels? Sounds like a neat idea, doesn't it? It says in our text that through hospitality, some have entertained angels unawares. Well, having angels in our home isn't actually the point of this statement. You can see in Hebrews chapter 2, if you read Hebrews chapter 2, you'll see that Christ didn't come into this world to help angels, but rather He came to help mankind. And we're to be imitators of Jesus Christ in our love for other people. And so, why are angels mentioned here? Angels are mentioned here because that's a possible result of showing hospitality. But it's not the reason for showing hospitality. Saying that some have unwittingly hosted angels
is rather an encouragement to show hospitality. It lends excitement. It lends weight to the blessing of hospitality. How many of us see a new person in church and get excited about the prospect of inviting them over? Or to make it more personal, would you, when you see someone new come into church, would you get excited about inviting them over for lunch? Would the thought of having them over even enter your mind? Now, what if they were poorly dressed or whatever other excuse we can think of? Now you're thinking, no way, aren't you? So do you see what the author of Hebrews is doing here? He says, what if that person is an angel? And by hosting them, you're hosting an angel unawares. Now it's exciting to think about having them over, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, you are to show hospitality out of love. And so the author here is saying it's better that you think of that person you're having over as being an angel and to treat your guest with the same honor that you treat an angel than to treat them unworthily. In the Old Testament, angels literally and physically were hosted. Just think about that story of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18. Three strangers come to Abraham and he jumps up and he gives them food. He gives them water and he gives them rest. All these three men, it turns out, they're angels. In fact, one of them is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Just think about that. Abraham entertained his future descendant, his Lord and Savior, without even knowing it. And so we're encouraged here to do the same as Abraham, our father in the faith. I want us to think about this morning too. Remember what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 25. What you did for the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. It shouldn't matter whether or not someone is an angel. Love should compel you and excite you to invite them over. And so you're encouraged to get hospitality happening in the church. Don't just have the people over you have normally and the ones that you naturally gravitate towards. Have everyone over. Visitors to the church, families in the church that you have little or nothing to do with. Have everyone. Because brothers and sisters, the test of the genuineness of God's love in your life is expressed by showing hospitality to all. This brings us to our third point and final point this morning. The gospel comes with a house key. Hospitality is something you must do as a Christian because it's a key part of promoting and maintaining brotherly love. When you sign up for a life of following and serving your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well, brothers and sisters, you just signed on the dotted line of the open home policy. Home is where the heart is. And to take that further, where the gospel is concerned, inviting someone over to your home is actually loving them from the heart. When you welcome them into your home, when you have them have fellowship with them in your home, you're bringing them into the hub of your life. You're sharing with them in all that God has given you. Most importantly, you are showing them who you are in Jesus Christ. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, we're given a list of the fathers of the faith who have gone on before us, and we see the legacy that they've left for us, don't we? Hebrews shows us the connection that we have with all who have gone before us in the faith.
We're connected to each other through our connection to Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that's beautiful. As we're connected to our forefathers in the faith and the legacy that they leave to all future generations of faith, that's including us. So too, we have our families that we're a part of where we also pass on that legacy to the next generation. As I mentioned in the introduction, my grandparents left me the legacy of hospitality. My parents as well. This is my heritage. These are my fathers, both family and in the faith. And I want to pass that legacy on to my children as well. And so I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, is this a similar witness to what you've had growing up? If you can answer that yes, well then praise the Lord for faithful generations in your family. I know many of you here already practice hospitality, and I've got to say, you do it well. And if that's you, well, then I hope the sermon's an encouragement to you to continue in it. But if you don't have this legacy in your family history, then hear the Word of God and make this the heritage. Make this the example for you and your family. That future generations in your line would point to you as the first faithful example of hospitality. Start that new pattern for your household as you seek to express God's love for others. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have that legacy in my family line, and I actually don't even know how to begin to do this. Well, let's consider just briefly how to show hospitality. Well, firstly, it doesn't have to be perfectly neat and tidy. The hospitality of the gospel is very ordinary and messy. You live in a home. It should look lived in. Maybe the folded washing is still on the counter. Maybe toys are still all over the living room floor and everywhere else, for that matter. Maybe your front doorstep is broken. Whatever it is, invite people over. Just invite people over. Secondly, the meal doesn't have to be a 5-star menu. Maybe next Sunday, but not normally. Maybe you can't have someone over because you think, well, I don't really have much in the way of food in the house. Well, when I was in the States, one family reminisced to me about the hospitality shown to them by another family. And just to give you a bit of context, in America, they don't really have people over, and if they do, they invite them over 7 days in advance so they can prepare. So that's the context. But this family reminisced with me about the hospitality they were shown by another family. They said, I couldn't believe it. They invited us over on a Sunday night, and we said to them, are you sure? We've got 6 children. And they just said, yes. Come on over. We'll just add more water to the soup. And they did. Just invite people over. Brothers and sisters, I hope you can see just in these two simple things. I hope you can see just how simple hospitality can be. All you need is a floor, preferably carpeted, and just a little something to feed your guests. All of us need to hear and obey this command from God to show hospitality, because brothers and sisters, there's so much blessing from God to be had in the act of having others over. Often blessings that we least expect and in the least expected places and people. And so if you want to find a way to encourage a brother and sister in their faith, have them over. Because Christian hospitality fans the flames of Christian love in powerful ways. I mean, eating with another brother or sister in Christ is in particular, one of the most solemn displays, one of the most solemn bonds of brotherhood or sisterhood.
Eating together in our homes is a beautiful sign of Christian oneness, displaying the love of the brethren and the peace of God. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4 verse 9 calls us to practice hospitality cheerfully. Because hospitality is the most practical vehicle for exercising one's spiritual gifts. How, you might ask? It does this because you are showing love by inviting others into your home, and not only that, but you are signing yourself up for an afternoon or an evening of service, serving your guests self-sacrificially. Parents, through hospitality, your children will benefit so much from your godly example in showing God's love in this way. Children pick up a lot from having that kind of fellowship. Even if the people you invite over don't have children or don't have children the same age. And so your children will learn firsthand what it is to serve and love and how to reach out to others. And then listening to the adult conversation, especially when it concerns the work of the Lord, it will strengthen your children's faith. They'll know the reality of their beliefs. And this is important. Your children will know the reality of their beliefs when they see you live it out at home. Through hospitality, the love of God is shared. People are drawn into the church, and the bond of believers is strengthened. Christ's love and His example are boldly proclaimed through simple, everyday actions of love and service, of fellowship and of care. And so, brothers and sisters, may the Lord stir within us this excitement to proclaim His love and His word in this way, entertaining angels unawares. Start with one act of hospitality and then plan the next one to begin or carry on this new pattern, this new Christian legacy. May God's love to us in Christ be the impetus for us to share the bounty that all of us enjoy. May that love then abound in us and through us as we seek to be a congregation of faithful servants in God's kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the plainness. We thank You for the clarity of Your Word. Dear Lord, please help us to live lives of faith out of gratitude for all that You've done for us and for all that You've promised us in Jesus Christ, Your Son. Help us to live out Your love that You've shown to us, to all You'd bring in our lives. May we be used by You as individuals and as families to encourage each other in the faith and to bring many to know You through our hospitality. Please be with us today. May our fellowship be sincere. May it be an encouragement to each other. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.